The concept of Maisek Sofim never appears in the Gemara anywhere. The whole source is a Zifrei, quoted by Tosfos and Tainus on Tess Amud Aleph, with the Zifrei Darshans from the Pasuk Aser Ti Aser, it's Kefal Oshin. The rabbis, even Maisa from Revochim and from Ribbis, means if I lend to a non-Jew and I charge Ribbis and I make profit on it, so whatever income I have, I should give Maisek Sofim. So some understood that this is a drasha gemura. It's a real din deraisa, ma'asek sofim, similar to ma'aser ani. Just like there's an institution of ma'aser ani, and ma'aser ani only goes to anim. You can't use ma'aser ani to support a hospital, to support a yeshiva. Only goes to anim. So some were of the opinion this is a real drasha gemura, and ma'aser sofim is deraisa, and you can only give it to anim. And to support the shul and the local mikveh and yeshiva has to come from other funds. Most are of the opinion that there are so many drushes in the Sifro and the Sifrei that are only asmachtes. This one is not a drusha gemura deraisa. This is only an asmachte, but it's a din derabbanan. The Taz was the son-in-law of the Bach. So in Shulchan Aruch you have one simon, Shin Lamed Aleph, has all the laws of the mitzvah satluyas baretz. He squeezed everything in. All the dinim of Truma Gdoila, Maisa Rishon, Maisa Sheni, Pidya, Maisa Sheni, everything is one simon. So the Ramo at the end of Shin Lamed Aleph bemoans the fact that the Shulchan Aruch, the simon has 146 sifim, but it still didn't spell out all the dinim. There's so many dinim. So he says, because in Chutzlor it's a dinim and not knowing, and even though Rabbi Yosakar lived in Eretz Yisrael, there were no Jewish farmers, hardly any Jewish farmers at all. So the dinim weren't too nogeya then, so that's why they were mekatzer, and it's really not right. So the Taz at the very end of Shin Lamed Aleph, the last Taz, Sivkot Lamed Beis, quotes from his father-in-law, the Bach. Bach is a sefer on the tour, that you should realize that Maisek Sofim is neither a din deraisa nor a din derabbanan, it's only a midas chasidus, it's a minig. And Taz screams, how can you say it's a midas chasidus? The Sifro learned, Sifrei learned to that from the Pasuk, a drosha. So true, it's not a real drosha gmur deraisa, but it's a real chiyam and derabbanan, you're obligated to be mafresh Maisek Sofim. So the Pischei Tshuva there touches on it a little bit, and as well as the Pischei Tshuva in Simon Reish Mem Tes, Sivkot and Beis points out that there are three different opinions over here. Those who hold that Maisek Sofim is their Isa hold that you should only give it Lanim, just like Maisek Rani. And all the others who hold that Maisek Sofim is either the Rabbanon or a Minik hold, you can give it to any form of tzedakah. And most are of the opinion, most hold that it's not even a chiyum of the Rabbanon. Most do agree with the Bach that it's only a minik toif. What does that mean? It's a minik toif. So here there are two shades of understanding. It's a minik if a person observed it a few times, so he was mekablan himself as a minik. It's a minik ayochid. Or do you say no? It's a minik of Klal Yisrael, that Klal Yisrael has introduced a minik all over the world that we try to give Maisek Sofim. So some achrenim understand, no, it's a minik, each yochid, if a person started giving Maisek Sofim, it's binding mitam minik on that person. So that's why the Amer Arik was one of the big major Galutziana poskim in the 1900s. He once visited America for a short period of time. So Dr. Lam said that he was Masadi Kiddushin by his parents. When he visited America, his parents got married in America. So to keep in perspective, when he visited America, the early 1900s. So Ramer Arik has a sefer, Shadas Chuvas, Imri Yosher, very beautiful Chuvas, very important Chuvas. And he recommends that the first time a person volunteers to give Maisek Sofim, you should either say, I have in mind, B'li Neder. This is based on the Beis Yosef and Hilchas Natilas Yadayim, where there's a machlokes there, Rashi and Tosfos, when you wash until the dime for bread, or when you wake up in the morning, how much are you obligated to watch? So Rashi holds you have to wash till the wrist, and Tosfos says you just wash till the knuckles. So all year long we wash till the wrist, if you have extra water, so why not be chashish for Rashi's opinion? On Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur, when Rechitza is Aser, Rechitza Shaltainig is Aser, it's only what's absolutely necessary is mutter, so then we only wash till the knuckles. So the Beis Yosef says, so we are brought up as little children, we are taught kitzu shulchan aruch in elementary school, whatever they taught us, Tisha B'Av Yom Kippur, you wash till here, and all year long you wash till here. So by us there's no issue, but when this, before it became so ingrained in the practice of the Jewish nation, so if a person will wash until it's a dime till the wrist, Just like he's mekabel a minik toiv, he's binding mitam minik, that he's always going to be machmal. Like Rashi, then he's going to pose a problem on Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur. So that's why the Beis Yosef says, the first time you wash until it's a dime to the wrist, you should either have in mind or say b'li neder, so there won't be binding. You don't have to say it every single time. You do it the first time, Mishayim. So that's what Remeir Arik writes over here also. Chavetz Chaim writes the same in his Sefer. Chavetz Chaim has many little svarim. So one Sefer is called Ahavas Chesed. So he writes the same in the Sefer Ahavas Chesed, that the first couple of times you give Ma'aseh Ksofim, you should have in mind b'li neder.
If you would say that it's a real drasha gemara about aser and tatzer and that it's a din d'oreisa, would there be an isra baltosif on giving more than 10%? Baltosif? I don't think there's an isa. There's no isa baltosif.
You can give as much as you want. There wouldn't be an isa baltosif. Just
d'oreisa,
because some hold that it's a din d'oreisa, so that's why the Chafetz Chaim and Ahavas Chesed quotes from Mekubalim have this idea. So he picks it up from the Mekubalim. You shouldn't do like I do. You just make out a check for so much, another check, another check, another check, and then at the end of the year, it turns out that you gave Ma'aseh Ksofim. He says, more correct is you should be Mafresh Ma'aseh. You should take that amount of money, put it in a separate bank account, or take that money, put it in a drawer, and then give. And even if you want to give Chomesh, you want to give 2/10, so you should be Mafresh 1/10, and then Mafresh another 10th. So this is a pikabola, kabbalistic idea. The pashtus is just keep on making out checks until you know that you gave ma'isa. But I don't think there'll be an isa baltaisa. There's no isa baltaisa if you give more than ma'isa to the levy either. There's no isa baltaisa. The Gemara just says hamar b'ma'isris ma'israis of mikul kodim. We're going to have tevel a ma'isa mu'rofim zebezeh, so the ben levy won't be allowed to eat the ma'isa that you gave him. But here there's no isa tevel on the money. I don't think there'll be a problem on baltaisa. How exactly do you calculate Ma'aseh Ksofim? So the Birkei Yosef is one of the many stories written by the Chidor. Chidor lived in the 1700s. He was born in Eretz Yisrael, and then he was a mshuloch for the Yishuv in Eretz Yisrael. Traveled all over Europe. Then he died in Italy, and then his body was moved back to Eretz Yisrael about 50 years ago. So now he's buried in Eretz Yisrael. So he wrote something like over 80 stories. So one of his many svarim, that's the Birkei Yosef on Orachaim and on Yerideya, he quotes a major machlokes achrayim about this. Do you take your annual income, whatever is withholding tax, whatever the government takes away from you, so it's considered as if you never earned that, so you don't have to give Ma'aseh Ksofim on that. Shaiva, what about your basic necessities? You have to pay for food and clothing and rent and everything else. So do you say you have to give Ma'aseh Ksofim on your total income minus your withholding tax? Or do you say, no, you only have to give Ma'aseh Ksofim on what's left after you spent the amount of money that's necessary on the necessities of life? That's a major difference. It's a major discrepancy. So he quotes the Orach Chaim HaKadosh, wrote a Sefer Rishon Letzion. The Orach Chaim HaKadosh says, Lahakel, you only have to give Ma'aseh Ksofim on the amount of money that you have left after spending for the necessities. This is not the generally accepted opinion at all. It's usually assumed you only deduct withholding tax. That's a person buys cigarettes and there's a heavy tax on the cigarettes. He buys an automobile and there's a tax on the automobile. So that's not the same as withholding tax. That means I earned the money and that was an expenditure. I decided to buy an automobile, and the government charged me money, tax, when I bought the automobile. But the withholding tax is considered as if he never earned it. Let's say if a person needs an automobile in order to drive to work, so that's an investment. When you're in business, you don't have to pay Ma'aseh Ksofim on all of your profits, ignoring your expenses. You deduct all the expenses, and then you figure out what your profits are. So if the woman needs a babysitter in order that she should be able to go earn money, so the expense for the babysitter, or if you have to have a car in order to get to work, and if you're not going to have a car, then you have to go by bus. It's going to cost you more. Go by train, it's going to cost you more. So the expense that it's going to cost you to go to work is also deductible. It's considered as if you never earned that amount of money. But if you just buy a car for fun, so then the expense that you incur by buying the car and the tax on the purchase of the car, you don't say that tax does it. You never earn that money. That's an expenditure. So that's good that you earn the money. You're supposed to give Ma'aseh Ksofim on that. The Gemara in the middle of Ksubas and Daf Nun comments on the pasuk that Yaakov Avinu promises HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kol Hashatitan Li Aser Asren Aloch. He says twice, I'll give Maaser, I'll give Maaser. So the Gemara says, HaMevazvez HaYevazvez Yehoshim Lichoymish. When the Bez Nagorl went into self-imposed exile, the Gemara says that parallel to the Eser Golias Golso Shechina at the occasion of the Churban Bayis Rishon, so there were Eser Golias Golso Sanhedrin at the time of the Churban Bayis Sheni. And the Gemara spells out what the Gemara in the end of Masechet Rosh Hashanah spells out where the Eser Golias were, Usho, Shvarim, Tzipori, Tveri, and so on. And they conked out, the Bez Nagorl conked out somewhere in the Galil. That's why in the days of Rabbi Yosef Kara, when they were interested in reinstituting the Smicha, and they thought maybe they'll make a Bez Nagorl and they'll be able to be Mekabel Pnei Eliyahu Anovi. The Gemara says an Erev in Eliyahu Anovi will appear the day before Mashiach. He will appear in front of the Bez Nagorl to announce that tomorrow Mashiach is going to come. So in the days of Rabbi Yosef Kara, there's a great excitement. They thought maybe it's time for them to be Mekabel Pnei Eliyahu Anovi. So that's why so many Mekubolim moved to the Galil, because the Gemara has a tradition. The Rambam in Mishneh Torah quotes this tradition, that the same location where the Bez Nagorl met the last time when they disappeared, they will reconvene at that location. So it's going to be the, when they reinstituted the Sanhedrin around 6-7 years ago, so they reinstituted in Tveri, I think. Because according to the tradition, that's where the Bez Nagorl was, somewhere over there in the Galil. So the the Gemara says, Bu'ushi hiskinu. When the Bez Nagorl was in Usha, one of the stages of Golis, they made this takona, HaMavazvez al Yavazvez Yesim Choymish. In other words, we recommend, based on this Sifrei, we recommend everyone should give Maisek Sofim. And we say, you can give one tenth, but you shouldn't give more than one fifth. Shema Yayone Beyitztarach Labriz. You're going to give too much tzedakah, so then you may go broke. And then what have you accomplished? You made yourself poor, so you're going to have to go shnara for money. So that doesn't make any sense. It says in Shulchan Aruch, and all the Bishayim say, unless you're very wealthy. In America, Jews are very wealthy. So to say that there's an issa to give maaser k'sofim, some people are not doing so well. But if a person makes that very well, has a very good parnasa, so it is permissible to give more than chomish. So the Gemara sounds like it says that we don't recommend l'chatchil you should give chomish. That's a maximum. By a normal person makes a normal parnasa, they're not rolling in dough, so the maximum is that he should give chomish. You look in the Rambam in the Pirush HaMishnah, it's the beginning of Peyah. The Rambam sounds like we recommend l'chatchila. Aser asven aloch, I'll give one tenth, I'll give another tenth. So you give l'chatchila two tenths, you give l'chatchila one fifth. So this is a contradiction, and the Rambam himself in the Mishnah Torah quotes the Gemara in Ksubis and Daf Mem Tes, Daf Nun, that HaMevaz Mezal Yivaz Yes Mechomish. How did the two Rambam shtim? So that's what the Chafetz Chaim writes about in his Sefer Avas Chesed. His many little svarim. So one of them is about the tzedakah v'chesed. He has halachas there. So in Perek Yutes, has a long footnote on the bottom of the page where he talks about this contradiction. So he gives a teretz. He says that we always recommend you should give maaser k'sofim. If you don't have somebody aniyim knocking on your door, you don't have somebody charities asking you for money, so shine, so you yotze. He gave you maaser k'sofim and finish. You know, and you should be careful not to exceed chomish. What if you have people pestering you all day and all night? They're coming from all over the world. They come to New York. They keep on knocking on your doors. So then he says, l'chatchil you should give chomish. And if you can afford it, l'chatchil you should give chomish. So he says he thinks that's perhaps the teretz to the Rambam. The Chavetz Chaim, that's in Perek Yutes and Avos Chesed. Perek Chof, he quotes an important sheet Mukubetzes, which is quoted by the Birkei Yosef, also on Simei Reish Mem Tes, by the Chido. The sheet Mukubetzes on Ad Gemara in Ksubas Daf Mem Tes, Daf Nun, has a Haychochef in the Gemara that Amevazmez Ayevaz Yosef Mechemish goes, if you're giving money to Aniyim, you shouldn't give more than one fifth. What if you're giving money to support yeshivas, the Tomchei Torah? So he says, then there's no limit. Then you're allowed to give even more than chomish. You're not concerned about Shema Yeyoni v'yitztarach labriyas. It's only tzedakah lo aniyim, Shema Yeyoni. But tzedakah to support yeshivas, it doesn't apply. The Gemara says, b'shas, the whole concern of giving more than chomish is only Shema Yeyoni v'yitztarach labriyas. A person may give too much, and he'll go broke, and he'll have to shnore tzedakah. So this only applies because when the person is still alive. Person is about to die, and he wants to give away a lot of his assets to tzedakah, so he's permitted to. The Gemara in Ksuba says, Beferish, B'shas Moshe, he's not going to need the money anymore, so there's no concern Shema Yoyoni, so he's allowed to give more than Chaimish. How much is he allowed to give? So that's another discussion. Because the Gemara says in Yesh Nechlem that it's not proper to be Mabe Nachle, to take away the Yerusha from your children. Even if the children are not exactly up to par, they're not what you hope they should have been, but still, if they're observant, Orthodox children. Gemara says there was a Tani Yosef Ben Yoezer, whose son wasn't so keen about learning, and his son was not a Tana. His son was a Balabas, and the father was so upset he could have become a Tana, and he didn't, so he cut him out from the Yerusha. How much did he have already? $25. So Yosef Ben Yezer, he wasn't in business. His son was a wealthy Balabas. So he gave all of his money to the Beis HaMikdash. Other Tanaim said, you're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to cut out your son from the Yerusha. And he didn't listen. They said that he was wrong. So the Gemara says, you're not allowed to be Mabe Nachle from the children. How much Yerusha do you have to give the children? So some poskim are of the opinion you have to give 51%. You have to give Rav of the Yerusha leaf for the children. So you're allowed to give Tzedakah when you're about to die. You can leave it Tzavua to give more than 20% Tzedakah, but you shouldn't give more than 49%. If you're going to give half and you're not going to leave Rav of the Yerusha for your own children, that's a violation of being Mabe Nachle. That opinion is not accepted. Moshe says we don't follow that opinion. The one who wrote Rabbi Chaim Michal Tukachinsky, the one who wrote the Gesher Achayim, paskan like that. So his son Nissen Tukachinsky wrote in the Hakdama when he reprinted the father's Sefer and Hilchas Avelis, the Gesher Achayim, the three volumes that he wrote in the Hakdama, that his father followed everything that he wrote in his Sefer, and when he was about to die, he left instructions to leave 49% for tzedakah, but he left 51% for the Yerushim. And that's generally not the accepted opinion. Rav Moshe says we follow the Chasam Sofer, who's quoted by the Pischei Tshuva and Choshe Mishpat, and the Siman about Nachlas, Hilchas Nachlas, that you can even give to Tzedakah more than 50%, as long as you give a significant amount of money to the Yorshim. So how much is a significant amount of money? That'll change in different generations. In time, Rav Moshe Feinstein, he writes, if you leave $1,000 for each one of the Yorshim, that's very nice. $1,000 today, you can buy a cigar. Well, what can you get from $1,000? You can't buy too much with that. So you have to leave at least $10,000, something like that. What's a significant amount? That'll change. Other poskim write, the Balatanya writes this. The original Gemara in Ksubas and Daf Memtes is talking about giving tzedakah to anim. You shouldn't give so much tzedakah to anim because Shema Yayani mitzarech labrias. But then the Ramo expands it. The Ramo, both in Yeridea Simen Kuftim Zayin, the Simen about Yehorg Vayavar, to what extent is one obligated to be Moisei Nefesh to observe mitzvahs HaTorah, as well as the Ramo in Hilchas Dalet Minim, a person has to buy Dalet Minim, and he lives in Honolulu. So where is he going to get? He doesn't have a Sfarim store where everybody's buying Dalet Minim. And it's Erev Sukkot, and he has to call up to Seattle or wherever. He has to call the closest Jewish community. So it's going to cost him a few thousand dollars to get Dalet Minim. How much money is a mechuyev to spend in order to fulfill a mitzvah of Dalet Minim? So there are more paskins. You're not mechuyev to spend more than one-fifth of your total savings to observe any mitzvah. So the Mishnah Berurah has a whole taina. The Mishnah Berurah has in the Bir Halacha. He thought he had a raya ha'chocha from the Gemara that din hamavaz v'zayivaz yes mechamish only goes on tzedaka la'anim. Shem e'yanim v'tzarech labir. It doesn't go on mitzvahs. But we assume that the raya is nishke raya, and we follow this Ramah that one is not obligated to spend so much money on a mitzvah, not mechuyev to spend more than one-fifth of his total of his total savings to do any mitzvah. So let's say a person is sick and he needs surgery, and the surgery will cost him 75% of his total savings, and if he doesn't do the surgery, he's going to die. So it's a mitzvah, pikuach nefesh, not mechuyev to spend more than one-fifth of his total savings, so drop that. That's what a person will do. So the pasuk says in here, v'kol asher le'ish itin ba'davsho. The pasuk says a loshem like that. A person gives his last penny to save his life. So what if a person knows that he sinned, and he needs a kapara, and he thinks it's tzedakah tatzel mimavis. He thinks that if he'll give tzedakah, maybe in the schus of tzedakah, he'll be forgiven. So he wants to give tzedakah as a kapara for his averis. He's not here giving tzedakah for the sake of fulfilling the mitzvah of tzedakah. No, he gives that tzedakah. He knows that he needs a kapara. He knows he's a sinner, not imagining. He knows he's a sinner, and then he needs a kapara. So if a person is giving tzedakah, b'toras kapara, so then the Balatanya writes that it's permissible to give yosem michamish, because that's kol ha'shalish, iten ba nafsho. He wants to give all of this tzedakah in order to tzedakah tatzal imabas, to imatzal him from punishment. So this is in Siman Reish Mem Tes, starts off with this idea of Chaimesh and Maisek Safim and Chaimesh. In Reish Mem Tes Siv Beis, the Shulchan Aruch quotes a Gemara in Bava Basra, how much is one obligated to give to fulfill a mitzvah of tzedakah? So it says, based on the pasuk in Ezra Nehemiah, you have to give shlishas hashekel. It says they accepted upon themselves to give a shlishas hashekel every year. How much exactly is a shlishas hashekel? So it's a couple of dollars, not so much. The Shach writes that Shach lived in Vilna till the Chmelnytsky pogrom. So he and many other gedolim had to run away to save their lives. When you go touring in Vilna, I remember I asked the tour guide, "Where did the Shach live?" So she never answered a straight answer. So I kept on asking, "Where did the Shach live? Why do you always talk about the woman going?" So she tells me in the straight face, "The Shach taught mathematics. He didn't teach Torah." Now you know. So that's why she didn't bother to tell us where the Shach lived. Anyway, but he ran away from Chmelnytsky. He lived in a different community. That's why they don't tell you where he lived when he lived in Vilna. So the Shach writes, the meaning during his lifetime was that they only went around with the pushke in the middle of davening on Sheni v'Chamishi, on Monday and Thursdays. Here in the minyan downstairs, the gabe goes around every single day. So while Sheni v'Chamishi is a bigger mitzvah to give tzedakah than the rest of the week, what is that all about? So the Shach is guessing. He's trying to reconstruct what can the minyan be based on. So he says the smallest coin that they had a chvase was a penny, let's say in our language a penny. So if everyone would give a penny, and Sheni v'Chamishi sometimes is Yontif. So when Yontif falls out in the middle of the week, Sheni v'Chamishi, so the gabe is not going to go around collecting. So if everyone will give the smallest coin, a penny, every Sheni v'Chamishi, he will give slightly more than Shlishis HaShekel. That's the calculation that he makes. So he thinks maybe that's why they institute the minig, only to collect, only to go around with the pushkin, Sheni v'Chamishi, that it should add up to a Shlishis HaShekel. Yeah. What does that mean? That even an Ani is obligated to give. Even an Ani is obligated to give Shlishis HaShekel. What does that mean, that an Ani is obligated to give? I mean, they're obligated to give him what's tzedakah, in order that he should give the tzedakah back as Shlishis HaShekel. That's very strange. There's a Sefer Chidushei Sfasemes on Yeridei. They think it's by the Sfasemes. They're not sure. They found the manuscript, and they think it's by the Sfasemes. So he has a comment on that Sif. What does it mean? The Oni. We should mechuyev to give him more tzedakah in order that he should be able to give the Shlishis HaShekel. Says, Afucha Matar Talomali. Giving him and he's giving back. It's just a charade. He thinks maybe what it means is that we give the Ani full money that he should be able to buy three meals every day. Shabbos, he should buy a little extra and so on. So maybe it means he should fast Monday or Thursday. He should cut back a little bit on the food that he eats and stave. Not that the tzedakah should give him more money, he should give it back to the tzedakah. He should skimp a little bit on his spending in order to be able to give from his own money. That's not called tzedakah. To get money from someone else and to give it to tzedakah, that's not called tzedakah. It means he should save from his own money that he's entitled to in order to give Shlishis HaShekel. What if a person, I'll give Shlishis HaShekel. I'll give Shlishis HaShekel, I won't be Yotze the mitzvah. There is, when it comes to tefillin, when it comes to Kriya Shema, when it comes to Netilas Lulav, so everyone is mechuyev to do the mitzvah exactly the same, whether you're the Vilna Gaon or you're the street cleaner. There are certain mitzvahs that it depends what your circumstances are to determine how to fulfill a mitzvah. The pasuk says regarding Oyla Sri and Shalom Chagiga, Ish Kimatans Yodoy, Kivirkas Hashem Alakecha, Shinasan Loch. So the Mishnah spells out at the end of the first paragraph in Chagiga, if a person has a big family and has Ochlim Merubim, has a lot of people who would be interested in eating food, so he should buy more Shalmei Chagiga. And the children are all Tahor, they'll eat it. If he has a lot of, he's a very wealthy man, but he has no children at all, a husband and wife, they have no children. So he has a lot of money, let him buy a lot of oil asriya. The oil is burnt on the mizbech, nobody eats it. So if you can't afford a lot, so you can have 100 people join together to bring one oil asriya. If you can afford it, so you bring 100 oil asriya yourself. So the Chumash says that this mitzvah, oil asriya, shal mechagiga, depends how much you can afford. Ish kimat and siyada kevirkas Hashem okecha shenasama. Same thing when it comes to tzedakah. If I'm going to give a shlishis hashekel, I'm going to give $5. That's a joke. I make so much more money. I'm not yotze with the shlishis hashekel. If a poor man can't afford to give any more, so he has to strain himself in order to give the shlishis hashekel. Talmud Torah is also that the same. There's a chiyuv to learn Talmud Torah. If not for the pasuk in Sefer Yoshua, Bagisa Bayom of Aloyla, we would have thought that you're only mechuyev to learn once a day, every day, for a few moments. Now, because the pasuk says, Bagisa Bayom of Aloyla, So the pasuk is Megali, you have to learn a little bit every day, a little bit every night. So the Gemara says, basically, when you daven Shachris and Mayrim, you say Kriya Shema, the three parshas of Shema and Shachris, and three parshas of Kriya Shema and Mayrim. So you yotze, you did your Shmek topic, you yotze in the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. But if you have more time on your hands, then you have to learn more. If you have to make a living, you don't have so much time on your hands. So the more time you have and the more ability you have, some people just can't concentrate on learning so much. So let them go to work. What are they going to break their head if they're not going to succeed in learning? But whoever has the time, the free time and the ability and the talent and he understands learning, so that he has an obligation to learn more. Let's say one person breaks his head a whole day, and he just figures out one sif in the Shulchan Aruch. And it takes him 3 hours. In 3 hours, I can finish 10 pages. So if I'm just going to learn the one sif, I'm not Yotze Talmud Torah. He was Yotze Talmud Torah, to the best of his ability. He spent 3 hours, and he learned the one sif. He spent all of his time. If I'm going to learn one sif in 3 hours, that's Bittul Torah. I should learn 10 pages in the Shulchan Aruch. So there are certain mitzvahs that depend. When you look further in Shulchan Aruch and Reish Nun Aleph Siv Gimel, so the Shulchan Aruch quotes from Gemaris and mainly from Sifrei that there's a Seder Kedimas in distributing tzedakah. You have no right to say it's my money and I have a right to distribute it the way I want. Well, if a guy, it's his money, he's going to establish a dog hospital in Saudi Arabia. Sure, he wants to do whatever he wants. So you're not the balabos. You're not the balabos. The Mishnah says, "Al shlosha dvarim ha'ila mamir ala torah v'ala avoyda v'al gemilas chasadim." So Abchai Balozhin writes in his commentary on that Mishnah in Ruach Hayim that now that we have the Torah, so the avoyda and the gemilas chasadim has to be according to what it says in the Torah. You no longer have the right to choose to do gemilas chasadim the way you see fit. You have to follow the rules and regulations. And every person should have the attitude when he's giving tzedakah. You shouldn't have the attitude, this is my hard-earned money, I have a right to do whatever I want with the money. The Mishnah says, Tein lo mishalo, shaltov shalcho shalo, shenemar, and it quotes, v'chei midovet ho'aymer, it says, Intilim ki l'cho ha'kol, u'miyotcho nasanoloch, everything that belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm just like an apotropos on the money, and I have to follow the instructions that the boss gave me. The boss says, the Rabbanu Shalom, he told me how to distribute the tzedakah. So there's a Seder Kedimas. So the Seder Kedimas is based on Psukim and Chumash, that we should prefer to give to the Aniyei HaMishpacha. Aniyei HaMishpacha, there's a Mishpacha Sav and there's a Mishpacha Seim. So first takes precedence, Mishpacha Sav Kruya Mishpacha, Mishpacha Seim is Eina Kruya Mishpacha, but Mishpacha Seim is Sher Basar. So it's a slightly lower level. So we're going to explain what this means. So there's the Kedima. Kedima doesn't mean that I have checks and I give you the check first and I give him the check second. It means I give him more money. I give you more money than I give him. So what does it mean, more money? So there are different opinions. Rav Moshe Feinstein writes 2/3 and 1/3. Some poskim write 3/4 and 1/4. Rav Moshe thinks the Chachma Sodom also writes 2/3 and 1/3. So let's say I have $1,000 to distribute to tzedakah, and I have members of the family who are extremely poor, and strangers who are poor. So I should, if they really need so much money, if the members of the family need up until $666 from the $1,000, I should give 2/3 to the members of the family, and I should give the $333 to the stranger. So that's what it says in Shulchan Aruch, the Kroivim Mitzad Ha'av take precedence to the Kroivim Mitzad Ho'em. So what I said is already wrong. So I should give up until $666 to the Kroivim Mitzad Ho'av if they need so much. If they don't need so much, I shouldn't give. They only need $200, so I'll give them $200 and finish, and then I'll take the rest of the money and figure out what I'm going to do with it. But if they need more than that, they need $666 and more, so I should give the $666 to my relatives from the father's side, and then with the remaining $333, I'm going to figure out what am I going to do. So the Kroivim Mitzad Ho'em are also Kroivim, so they take precedence to the Aniyei Ircho. So what does it mean again, 2/3 and 1/3? So from the $333, if the Kroivim Mitzad Ho'em need $222, if they need all that amount of money and more, so I should give them the $222. I'm left only with $111, something like that. The $111, so Aniya Ircha take precedence to Shar Aniya. What does it mean takes precedence? So for the $111, I should give 1/3 to the people, the Anim in my city, and 2/3 to the other Anim. Now the 2/3 to the other Anim, so the Sifrei learns that from Psukim, that Ani Eretz Yisrael take precedence to Ani Chutz Loretz. They don't take precedence to Ani Yircho. That's Beferish, the Chasam Sofer, and the Tshuva writes like that, that's Beferish in the Shulchan Aruch. Once a Meshulach from Eretz Yisrael came to me a couple of years ago, and he wanted me to give a significant donation to Eretz Yisrael, and he says, Rabbi Yashiv said that Ani Eretz Yisrael take precedence to Ani Yircho. I told him it's a lie, because Rabbi Yashiv is not going to say against what it says in Shulchan Aruch. It says Beferish in Shulchan Aruch that it's not so. Ani Yircho take precedence to Ani Eretz Yisrael. So again, these Kedimas, I saw someone wrote a Sefer, he misunderstood. He thought that Kedimas means, first you lega shal yad, then you put on shal rosh. So you should give this check first, then you give the other check later. It doesn't mean Kedimas. Which mitzvah do you do first, which mitzvah do you do second? It means who gets 2/3, who only gets 1/3. So the first 2/3 go to the Kroiv and Mitzad Ha'av, if they need it. My family, the Mitzad Ha'av, Mitzad Ha'im, nobody needs any money. The question is how far? If you go further, I'm sure I can find a relative from my father's side, a fifth cousin from my father's side. So the pashtus is, it has to be a relative who has a shem kurva, probably psuli edus. If the guy's kosher edus, so some achranim say no, it doesn't, not achranim. Some of the contemporary mechabrim write, it doesn't depend on psuli edus. So what does it depend on? What does it depend on? If anything, it should mean a relative who's psuli edus. If he's not psuli edus, not called a relative. We're all related to each other. Probably all 10th cousins to each other. It means it should be a relative who's posulatus, and I have a shaykhus with him. If I have cousins in Eretz Yisrael, I have cousins in Eretz Yisrael. Even when I go to Eretz Yisrael, I don't even visit them. I'm not in touch with them. So that's a question. Does that have a din of, they're from my mother's side. Do they have the din of Krev Mitzad Ho'im, the first cousins, but I don't talk to them, I don't correspond to them. I don't have any shaykhus with them. Once every 5 years, we meet up with each other. But more than that, we don't have. So that's a question. But to say that the relative, even if it's not posulatus, that's also called a relative, it doesn't make any sense at all. So the Pashto says the Kedimas go in dollars and cents. It means 2/3 or 3/4 should go to this one, and what's left goes to the next one. Then the Chasam Sofer has a famous Chiddush, and it's true. He thinks that Aniya Yerushalayim take precedence to the Anim and the rest of Eretz Yisrael.
This Kedimas, if they come to you, or if you're going to give to the organization, should you adopt them?
Right? From all of the tzedakahs that are going to be presented to me, or that I'm looking to give to, so I should try to make such an approximate calculation. But then the poskim add on, b'medvar mamurim, that I give $666 from the $1,000 that I have to give to my father's side, to my brother, for my father, my cousin, whatever, my father's side, that's if they all need the same thing. But let's say the cousins from the father's side, they need Shabbos shoes, and the other people need food to put on a table 5 days a week. They're fasting already Monday and Thursday, but they don't have food for the other 5 days a week. So if they're not on the same level of need, they need food to put on the table. He needs an extra pair of Shabbos suit or an extra Shabbos shoes. So then they're not on the same level. So then the one who has the greater need takes precedence. So it's a very complicated cheshbon. It's very difficult. But it's not right, the common practice that was going on here for years, that all the institutions in Eretz Yisrael were milking the whole Jewish community here in the North, New England, the Northeast, America, for all the money, and then yeshivas over here are closing down, or they're cutting back on their classes because they can't afford. That's against the din. We're giving money to the yeshivas in Eretz Yisrael that they should have marble floors, and the yeshivas in America are losing out. So that's against the halacha. Ani Yircho, take precedence. Ani Yircho al pi Pashto doesn't mean New York City. I live in Manhattan. Ani Yircho. I have no shaykhis with them. Ani Yircho Pashto means the mikveh that my wife uses, the shul where I daven, the yeshiva where I learn, or my children learn, or my grandchildren learn. So our grandchildren are living in Eretz Yisrael all over the place. They learn at different schools. The yeshivas where my sons-in-law went. So that's where my children went in Eretz Yisrael, America, wherever. That's called Ani Yircho, the institutions of the poor people that I have a shaykhus with. Those I don't have a shaykhus, even if they live in the same city. I don't know who they are. I have no shaykhus with them. So the Pashto says that's not called Ani Yircho. And they are called Ani Yircho even if it's in a different continent, even if it's a different place. If I have a shaykhus with it, that's called Ani Yircho.
A person, if you have shaykhus, so why can't someone just decide not to have shaykhus with their most closest relative if they want to? Besides, like, move away from the father and everything.
Right. I would think that it's not called the Kareivim Mitzad Ha'av. I would think Kareivim Mitzad Ha'av has to be two things. Number one, it has to be Psuliatus. If it's too distant a relative, it's not called a Karev. Otherwise, everybody's related to everybody, unless the guy's a Ger. Remember, I was once at a conference of Rabbanim. So there's somebody there from Europe. So he tells me his name. So I say, are you related to so-and-so? So before I finish that, he says, no. So I was like, how does he know to say no? So someone whispered to me, he's a Ger. He knows he's not related to anybody. The guy's name is Meyer. So I start to ask, are you related to Dr. Meyer? So he says, no. Yeah, guy's a Ger, so he's not related. But those who are not Gerim, so of course, everybody's a tenth cousin. So I would think in order to be called Kareivim Mitzad Ha'am, it has to be, number one, psuliatus, and number two, we have a shaychus with each other, we see each other. But if it's a relative, I have no shaychus. So I don't think it's called Mishpacha Sa'avida. So these are the Seder Kedimas that they have in Shulchan Aruch. We don't have the right to act with the money as if we're the Balabatim, we have the right to call all the shots. You have to follow the Avodah and the Gemilus Chasadim should follow the Torah. Everything has to be according to the Torah. Yeah. In Shulchan Aruch, yes.
Psule Eitos, since the Ramah is Machmer for more distant relatives than really Nekhadim, would you say that they're also?
What do you mean the Ramah is Machmer? The Gemara has Chumras Midi Rabbanon. We have certain Chumras Midi Rabbanon. That's only the Eidi Kiddushin. For the Ksuba, he's not Machmer. For other things, he's not Machmer. Just a minig. That's a minig. That doesn't make him Kreivim. Let's say you have Kreivim mid the Rabbanon. Let's say you say twice Balki Ishtoi. You have two sisters who are both married. So the brother-in-law, based on two marriages, is only a Psul de Rabbanon. That's how the Ramban says in Sanhedrin. That's how we accept in Shulchan Aruch. Twice Balki Ishtoi is only the Rabbanon. So if that brother-in-law is in need of money, his wife also needs money, so it's only one Balki Ishtoi. But if it turns out only he's in jail, his wife is not in jail, for some reason or another they put him in jail and he's innocent and he deserves a little pidushin, so then so then the Rabbanon, he's related to me, so the Rabbanon, he takes a kedima. Okay, so you have to follow, you should try to follow the Seder Kedimas. Yeah. And Shulchan Aruch, they also quote the Poskim, quote the Medrash Rabbah, the Tana Rab Yosi ben Chalafta got divorced from his wife. And he used to give her tzedakah, and he used to say, after he divorced her, and he used to say, Mibsorcha al tesalam. So that's a chiddush, that the Pasuk in Yishai, Mibsorcha al tesalam, applies to my former wife. My former wife is also considered one of my close relatives. You shouldn't think I divorced my wife, goodbye and good luck, and I have no shaykhis with her. No, there's a din Mibsorcha al tesalam. It's quoted in Chashmish, but also when they have the din, that you should try to take care of a din Torah of relatives, Mibsorcha al tesalam. So they quote, former wife is also considered, included in Mibsorcha al tesalam. The Maram Shif in the back of the Gemara points out, Rabbi Yosi is the one, the Tana Rabbi Yosi is the one who says he never used to refer to his wife as his wife, he used to refer to his wife as Basi. So he suggests maybe in Yiddish, that's how you say, instead of saying, how's your wife? So they say, how's your home? How's it? Was mach de stup? Mashlom beitcha. This is uishtoi. So the Maram Shif has a suggestion on Gitna, not Agarata. He says, nah, that's not why. He says, Rabbi Yosi never had shalom bais. He never got along with his wife. So he didn't like her, and he got divorced. So even when he was married, he didn't want to refer to her as his wife. So he referred to her as Basi, because he didn't like her. But Yiddish tradition has it that it's not so. That's Derech Eretz, it's a Loshen Nikiya. Rather than to say Yishtoi, you say Basi. So that's in that's in the Seder Kedimas, that's in Reish Nun Aleph. Reish Nun Ches, in Siv Gimel, the Shulchan Aruch quotes a Tosefta, that a person gets an aliyah, and then they make him a Mishabech, and they say, Babusha Nada Lebeis HaKnesset, Babusha Nada, whatever. And he didn't specify how much, and he didn't have in mind how much. So it says in the Tosefta that you're in big trouble, you have to give the largest donation that you could ever have possibly thought. So I remember I went to the OU convention, and they gave Mr. Marcus Katz, the one who gave the money for the Kohen, gave Mr. Marcus Katz, his wife is a Kohenus also. So he gave him the first aliyah. He was the chairman of the board of directors of the OU. He gave him the first aliyah. By Bush and order, I think $10,000 for the OU. So that I never have in mind. That's out of the question. No one else could match him. And $10,000 for an aliyah. So let's say if I get an aliyah and I don't say how much, So sometimes I give $5, sometimes $10, sometimes $20, maximum $50 for an aliyah. Depends where I am. I never give more than $50 for an aliyah. On an appeal is a different thing. So if I don't have in mind specifically how much, then it says in the Shulchan Aruch, quoting the Tosefta, you have to give the maximum that you could possibly have had in mind. So the best is to have in mind exactly how much you want to give. What if they're making an appeal? Shulchan Aruch and that Simon, Reish Nun Ches, Sif Yud Gimel. What if they're making an appeal? And as they're making the appeal, they say everyone should please have in mind how much money they want to give. And I have in mind they want to give $1,000. And then after Shabbos is over, after Yom Tov is over, I decide, well, should I give $1,000? I'll give $250 is enough. I can use the $750 myself. So that's a big machlokes. The din is that a neder, belave, is not binding. Based on the pasuk in Parshas Vayikra, Chomish Vayikra, Nefesh Kisishova Levate Bisvasayim, you have to pronounce it with your lips. So Amar Shmuel, the Gemara says in Shavuos Dav Chavov, and based on Amar Shmuel, Gama Belibo, if you made up your mind to take a neder, whatever the neder is, it's not binding unless you pronounce it. But the Gemara says there are two exceptions to the rule. One is Afrashas Truma, V'nechshav Lachem Trumaschem, Truma Schal B'machshove, and the other one is, the exception to the rule is Hegdish, because it says in Dirayamim, Kol Nediv Leiv Oilus Haviu, all those who had pledged to give a carbon oil in their hearts brought it. So the question is Tzedaka also Dino Kehegdish? That Hegdish is Chal B'machshove, Kol Nediv Leiv Oilus Haviu, or is Tzedaka not Dino Kehegdish? So the Ramah quotes a Machloikas about this. And then the Ramah in Yerideya, in Reish Nun Ches, Sif Yud Gimel, the Ramah in Yerideya says we should really be machmer, like the Deya HaRishayna. In Choshe Mishpat, the Ramah is talking from a different perspective. He says, if a guy took a neder and he took stock and he doesn't give, so Bezna has to be koy for him to make sure that he pays the money. What if he only took the neder belibo? So how do we have the Racha Kodesh to know that he took a neder belibo? He tells us. He tells us that he never pronounced the neder, but as they were making the appeal, he was gama belibo, he's going to give $1,000. But he never took a neder, he never really pledged it. So the Ramah says it's a machloikah, so he shouldn't be koy for him. So it's a steer in the Ramah. There the Ramah says that that you're not koy for him on a neder belave, and here the Ramah says that you are, that that it's binding. So the Nosei Kelim explain that Sofi Gisur Luchumra, it's a machloikah sarishayim, whether it's tzedaka is dino kehegdush. So the Ramon Yerudeh is writing from the perspective of Avisa Veheta and Hilchas Nidorim and Hilchas Shavuos. So he's Machmer, Hanochen Kadeo Harishayna writes, he's Machmer, that you should treat a neder belave that it is binding, just like Hegdish. And Chosh Mishpat is talking about Bezin being kai for the guy. The guy doesn't want to pay, so they're going to beat him up and they're going to take it from his bank account. So to be Moitzi Mamon, that's already Sofek Mamon. So Moitzi Machaver, all of her ayah. So since there are others who hold that the neder belave is not binding, the Bezna has no right to be kaifa. So this is really a shaila in other areas of halacha as well. We have a klal in Hegdish, a Mishnah in the first perek in Kiddushin, that Amirasa Lagavaya Kim Sirasa Lahed Yadami. Let's say I tell a Gizbashal Hegdish, I have all this furniture. It really costs $1,000 for each piece. I'll sell it to Hegdish for $100. I'm giving him a 90% discount. And then before the Gizber has the time to pay the money and to walk off with the furniture, I change my mind to say the deal is off. So the Gemara says the deal is binding. I promised him. I can't back out. I know it's worth $1,000 each piece of furniture, and I agreed to sell it to the Gizber Shal Hegdish. For the Hegdish purposes for $100 a piece. So that's binding. Well, let's say a person has in mind, let's say a person says, I'm donating this to Hegdish. They don't have to pay it all. So Amirasa Levakim Sarasa Hadidami goes to Hegdish. Even if the guy dies, his Yerushim have to give it to Hegdish. Not just Chai Mitam Neder. Not just the Neder. If a person takes a Neder to give money to Tzedakah and he dies, so even if the children are going to pay the money to the tzedakah, the one who died has not fulfilled the mitzvah of motzvah sech tishma v'yosisa kashen adart ol shama kach nedobe. He's not yotze. If he didn't give it during his lifetime, he's not yotze. Amesim chavshim. That's a guy didn't lay tefillin today and he died. So the children are going to lay tefillin on his arm. He's dead. Amesim chavshim. So after the guy dies, he can't accomplish anything as far as the Kima Mitzvah of the Neder is concerned. But the question is, if the guy took a pledge to give money to Tzedakah, do you say, Amirasa, the Gavakim Sirasa, the Hedidami, Vinishtabdu Hanachasim, and he's Mechuyev? So when he dies, the Yorshim have to pay from the estate, if they got an estate from the one who died. What do you say? No, Amirasa the Gavaya is only by Gavaya. Gavaya means Hekdesh. Amirasa the Gavaya perhaps doesn't apply to Tzedakah. So this is the fundamental machlok. That's what in Resh Nun Ches, Sif Yud Gimel, so the Ramah quotes this fundamental machlokes, and the Bi'er Agra, Lamed Hei, Lamed Vav, there gives you the Marmakamis from the Rishonim. Whether you treat Tzedakah like Hekdesh or you don't treat Tzedakah like Hekdesh. So the Ramon Choshemish put Paskin, Hamotze Mechavei Olavar Adbezin shouldn't be Koy for him. But in Yeridei, he's talking to the person from the perspective of the person, not from the perspective of the bezel, from the perspective of the person. The person should go to Chumra and should treat Tzedakah like Hekdesh. You should say, Goma Belibo, the pledge is binding. Let's say, I never said the peh, the pledge to give the amount of money to Tzedakah, but I know I was Goma Belibo to give $1,000. So I should give the $1,000. Or, this is the shayla that came up. I spoke about it the other day. A man went to shul on Yontif, probably Yom Kippur, and he pledged to give whatever, $30,000 to the local day school, and then he died before he had a chance to give the tzedakah. So he left a son and a daughter. So the son is not yet religious. So the son was not interested in supporting the local yeshiva in South America. And the daughter lives in the New York area, and she's married to a very religious man. She's very religious. And her children are very religious. So strictly speaking, the whole Yerusha goes to the son. But the son was going to divide the Yerusha 50-50 with his sister. And the son is not going to give a penny of the Yerusha to the local day school. He's not interested. So the shaila was whether his sister, who gets half of the Yerusha, the father pledged to give $30,000. So the father died. So there's no way to help the father fulfill a mitzvah now that he's dead. But if you say Nishtabdo Hanachasim, so maybe we should say that the daughter has to give $15,000, half of the amount from the Yerusha that she gets. And maybe since she knows the brother's not going to give a penny, maybe she's mechuyev to give all, and maybe she's mechuyev to give nothing. Maybe you don't see Amirasa Lagavai. So this was a whole pilpul. When was it? 2-3 years ago. So someone sent the Shadat Rabosha Vais, he passed and you don't have to give. This was a big machlokes, the Mechaber and the Ramah. They lived in two different countries. Chava lived in Eretz Yisrael, Ramo lived in Krakow in Poland, but they corresponded. So you have Chuvis and the Afkas Reichel, and the Chuvis and the Chuvis are Ramo. So at that time, the Mechabe Paskan Amirasa Lagavoy applies to Tzedakah v'nishtabdo Hanachosim, the Yoshim have to pay. And the Ramo Paskan that it doesn't apply. Amirasa Lagavoy does not apply to Tzedakah. Yeah, but you look in the Yerideya, there's a steer over here. The Ramon Yerideya does say that Tzedakah is dino kehegdush, and Choshem Mishpati says not so. So then I said, can't say because that's from the perspective of the Dayanim, HaMotzi Mechavei Olav Haraya. You have no right to be Motzi Momen from him, he's a Muchzor. But if the person himself is coming to Esther Shaila, the woman came to Esther Shaila, should she give the money to Tzedakah? So the Pashtus, you should say that, Nishtabdu Hanachasim. Pashtus, you should say. I don't know. That's a good question. The Ramon, the Tshuva was Mekel. I don't know. That is a problem. When we gave the shir a couple of months ago about Yerusha, the mention of Chaim Oizer assumes in his tshuva Nachiyaz that Amirasa Gavaya does apply to Tzedakah. Yeah, the Pashto says that we assume it does apply to Tzedakah. There is a Gemara in the first parak in the Dorim.
Does that mean? But does
that,
if we say that there is a shibud, does that mean that the daughter still has to pay in entirety, or that maybe she can split?
Okay, so you got to work out the details, and maybe the shibud is only in what he got. Maybe she's not entitled to anything, so maybe he's maybe she's not. Okay, but it's a bigger shaila. But one aspect of the shaila was with Amirasa Gavaya applies to Tzedakah. So that's a mefurish machlokes and Reish Nun Ches if you would gimel. The Bi'er Agra quotes the mefurish machlokes and the Ramon every day is machmer.
If you owe somebody money and they're mochel, say no, don't worry about it, give it to Tzedakah.
If they say I'm going to give it to Tzedakah, so that means you'll pay me by giving it to Tzedakah. I think so. Yeah. The way to pay me, I can say give it to my wife, and that'll be the piroi. Piron is when you make the money accessible to me to my satisfaction. I say, I don't need your money. Give it to charity. So giving it to charity is the Piron Achayv to me.
If you go to a show where like everybody always says Mishaberach and they go for a later and you keep it, but you know whether they want to give or not, is that also something if you just kind of nod your head?
I think so. Have in mind $1. Have in mind 50 cents. Okay. But you should tell them, I don't want the aliyah. If you don't want, if you don't want to give any money, so tell them you don't want the aliyah. Turn down the aliyah. The Gemara in the first parak in Nedarim talks about Yad. Yad is a concept in Nedarim Meshavuz, because the Pasuk says, Nefesh kisishova lebat tebisvasam. You have to pronounce it. It's a gama belibo. The Shavuz is not binding. It's och lahot tebisvasav. So what if he said a neder or a shua, but he didn't say a full sentence? So if he didn't say it grammatically correct, but it's clear, it's 100% obvious what he said. He doesn't know grammar well. So then that's called a loshen. That's not called a yad. It's only called a yad if he didn't say it completely correctly, and it's still a little hazy. Soloveitchik, when he gave the shir on this topic, so Eisenhower, I don't remember already, Eisenhower used to be president of the United States. Apparently, he didn't know how to speak English properly. So he said, what do you mean Eisenhower can't be Mekadosh and Isha if you hold that there's no Yad for Kedushin? So he said, no, as long as it's 100% crystal clear what the guy's driving at, even if he doesn't express it properly. But we know what he said. That's called the Loshen. That's not called the Yad. Yad is he didn't express it clearly, and it's not 100% clear. It's 90% clear that that's what he's driving at, but there's a 10% possibility that he didn't mean that. So that's a din of yad. So the Gemara has a suffix where there's a din of yad litzdokah. A person says, this $10 bill should go for tzedakah, and then he takes another $10 bill, puts it over here, and he says, and this also. So did he mean this also goes for tzedakah, or did he mean not so? A little unclear. So the Gemara has a dion where the yesh yad letzdoka and yad letzdoka. So the shita mukubetzes is bothered with a kasha, but tzdoka is chal b'leiv. Shita mukubetzes assumes like this opinion, like the Ramo, Paskin. The Ramo quoted the Machlokes. So the shita mukubetzes says, but tzdoka is chal b'leiv. And the guy tells us that's what he had in mind. So what do I care what he said? Forget about dami hach what he said. Tzdoka is chal b'leiv. So the shita mukubetzes gives an answer that's a little hazy. It's a little unclear. So Rav Baruch Be'er has an essay on the Nedarim, a beautiful essay. He explains as follows. If they're making an appeal, and I get carried away, and the guy's holding this fiery speech, why we should all give a fortune of money to this institution. And I think, wow, that's such a good cause. I make up my mind, I'm going to give $1,000. And then I keep on thinking, maybe I'll give $500, maybe I'll give $3,000, maybe I'll give $50, maybe I keep on changing my mind. So by the time the whole appeal ends, I decide I'm only going to give $18. So even if I didn't back out Turkey de Dibur, but you with that's not called a neder tzedakah is chal b'leiv. Neder tzedakah chal b'leiv, I made up my mind, behechlet, that's it, I'm going to give $1,000. And then tomorrow I change my mind. But if I keep on changing my mind, as he keeps on talking some more, he keeps on giving more details about the institution, so I said, oh, that's the story. So they don't need so much money. So even I didn't back out Turk de Dibur, you can always back out Turk de Dibur. I didn't back out Turk de Dibur, but if you're talking about a neder tzedakah that's chal b'leiv, has to be he was machlid b'liboy, then it's chal b'leiv. But if he made a Dibur, you can only back out Turk de Dibur. You can't back out lacha k'de Dibur. So that's what the Shitim Kubetz says. The guy said this $10 bill is for tzedakah, and then he sets aside another $10 bill and he says, and this one also, and we're not sure what he's driving at. He tells his belay he had in mind that this should also be. He meant the Shabbat Litzak, but he never said it. So then, since he was never really machlit 100% beliboy, so that's the suffix in the Gemara. So if yesh yad litzdokeh, so yad means he did amira, he did dibur. So dibur can only back out turk de dibur. So that's what our Baruch Be'er interprets this shita mukubetzes as saying. That true, a ned litzdokeh is chal belay, but only if he was machlit beliboy. If he thought maybe, and then he kept on changing his mind as the time went on, said that's not called chal b'leiv.
In other words, if I understand correctly, it's something like a sukkim boso inyan.
Something like that, right? If it's only b'leiv, then you can back out a sukkim boso inyan. That's right. And that same simon reish nun ches sif yud.
How do we pass it?
this topic is not discussed in Shulchan Aruch, this whole topic. The Rambam just says we're machma, you should be machma that it's chal b'leiv, that a netted tzedakah is chal b'leiv, that you do say amiros al gavaya by tzedakah. And that contradicts what the Rambam wrote in the Tshuva, and that contradicts what he wrote in the Chosh Mishpat. So the steer of the Chosh Mishpat, the Nisi Kalim explained, that's mominous from the perspective of the Bezin here, it's Isavata from the perspective of the Bala Neder. The steer for the Tshuva is a steer. I don't know what the Teretz is. But they don't go into the details. When he says, Chalba Machshava, with Machshava, what Machshava?
They don't say whether we pask and whether there's a Yad for Tzedakah or not.
Ah, that. I think we're Machmer on that. I think we're Machmer that it is called Amir. But if he wouldn't have even made the Yad Tzedakah, just had the Machshava, so then Basukam Osuinyan, so to speak, he would be able to back out. That's Rav Baruch Ber quotes that from the Shittim Kubetzis on the Dor. And that same siman, Reish Nuchesif Yud, the Shulchan Aruch quotes a Psak Halacha from the Mordechai, from the Rishonim, that even though we have a rule, Asmachta lo Kanya, but Asmachta Litzdoke is Kanya. What does it mean, Asmachta Litzdoke? Let's say, he has a chavrusa, and he made up with the chavrusa, he's going to come to Seder every morning, 9 o'clock. The guy comes every time, a quarter after 9. So the chavrusa says, if you come late tomorrow, I'm gonna switch chavrusas. You can look for a different chavrus. The guy's pleading, don't switch. So he says, Mekabla on himself, and says, if I come late tomorrow, if I come 1 minute after 9 tomorrow, I'm going to give $10,000 for tzedakah. Of course, he comes late the next day. So he didn't mean to give $10,000 for tzedakah. He thought, I'm not going to come late. Don't drop me as a chavrus, I need you, do me a favor. And he made a guzman, he said, if I come late tomorrow, a minute late, I'm going to give $10,000. So that's an asmachta, so it should really be asmachta lo kanya. Asmachta, the standard definition of asmachta means, a person did a kinyan ala tanai, with his anumdin in the muchach, that he thought there never will be a kiyam ala tanai. He says, I'm making his chayvus to give $10,000 to tzedakah on the tanai that I come late. And he thought for sure it's not going to happen. He's not going to come late tomorrow. He's just one today. So he's going to make sure that he comes on time. And then he went and he came late again. So it says that even though we paskan asmachta lo kanya ben adam l'chaveiro, but to tzedakah and to hegdish, dinas asmachta is kanya. What is the rationale? What's the logic behind this? So the original Mordechai is in Bava Kamma. The Mordechai in Bava Kamma claims that the whole din of Asmachta lo Kanya itself is only Midrabbonim. And the Torah, the din is Asmachta is Kanya. And that's what the Bach writes in Chosh Mishpat, in the Siman of Asmachta. He says Asmachta lo Kanya is only between two Yisraelim. If it's to a Nochri, then we say Asmachta is Kanya, to take away from the Nochri, because Min HaTorah Asmachta is Kanya. The Chacham only made a Takana for the Yisraelim, they never made a Takana for the Nochri. So since Min HaTorah, the Mordechai says, since Min HaTorah Asmachta is Kanya, so they're not interested, in making a Takana to be Mapsid Tzedakah. So when it comes to Tzedakah, when it comes to Hegdash, they left that on a Din Deraisa, that Asmachta is Kanya. That's what the Mordechai says in Bava Kamma. Kevin Oira on Nozir has a whole time that's against all the Gemara. Gemara says Beferish Asmachta lo Kanya is a Din Deraisa. It's not there. Learned that from Psukim and Chumash. I can say it's only a Din Derabbanan. One can still argue the point, because there are other rayas. That's not the whole mocker. There are other rayas from Mishnayis and Nozir that are smachta kanya fitz doka. So there are rayas from the Gemara. So one can argue the point and say differently. Asmachta lo kanya means, since it's an umdin in the muchach that he thought it's never going to come for kiyama tanai, that that's equivalent to an umdin in the muchach that he doesn't want the whole kinyan to take effect. But if he makes an asmachta to give to tzedakah, to hegdish, so then he does want it to take effect, to give to tzedakah, to give in adam achaveir or not, to give to hegdish, there is a gemira's das. So we assume like that asmachta is kanya le tzedakah, that's the psak in the Shulchan Aruch, even though the Keren Ora was ma'arer a little bit on the reasoning behind it, but the psak we assume does remain in place. If a person took any neder, any shvua, there is an institution of Hatoras Nedarim. There are two ways to make Hatoras Nedarim, either Aydei Pesach or Aydei Harotim. Aydei Pesach, the guy explains to the Bezin, I made a mistake. I didn't realize that, I didn't realize what my salary was. I thought I had so much more money. So I pledged to give $1,000. If I would have known that, have so, let's say, he earns money and his wife earns money. He knows what his salary is, doesn't know what his wife's salary is. He's pledging to give so much money, thinking that he has double salary. Then it comes out his wife hardly earns anything. And then all the money is coming from his salary. So that's a Pesach. I made a mistake. Sometimes the mistake will be so obvious that you won't even need a Hatoras Nedarim. Sometimes Mamish and Neder B'Toras. And sometimes it's a special chiddush din that al yedei Pesach Bezin declares as an eder b'toes nerekar neder l'mafre. So that's a hataras and daim al yedei Pesach. He says, I was unaware of certain information. I made a mistake. If I would have realized all the information, I would never have taken the neder. Then there's also so l'chatchili should be matir the neder al yedei Pesach. Okay. And then, if you can't do that, then mikra, then we pass can post kama charota. You can be mater and neder with charota also. Charota doesn't mean that I have the Ran and the Dorm explains. Charota doesn't mean that until now the neder was fine. And mikana lahabo, I have charota that I took the neder because now I'm getting into big trouble. No, charota has to be charota de meikora. He has charota that he ever took the neder. If the charota is only mikana lahabo, then the Ran and the Dorm says that's not a valid form of charota. So the question is, the Shach and Yeridei, and that's Simon, Reish Nuches, if Kot and Dalet, Shach quotes the Chulas of Tzal Ashkenazi, that if a person took a neder to give money to Tzedokah, it's not right to be Mata Yidei Charota. What's the guy going to say? I have Charota that I ever took a neder to give money to Tzedokah? That's not a nice thing to do. Toya Ala Rishonis. It says if a person did mitzvahs, and then later in life he has charata that he ever did the mitzvah, so he loses all his char. Like if a Baal Tshuva has charata that he ever did the Averis, so the charata the Meikor undoes all the Averis. So if a Rasha, Psukim in Yecheska like that, if a Rasha feels bad that when he was younger he was observant, he was religious and he did mitzvah, so he's Toya Al HaRishonos, has charata that he ever did the mitzvah, so he loses the whole reward for all of the mitzvahs that he did. So what is the guy going to say? I have charata the Meikor that I ever took a neder to give money to Tzedakah. So that doesn't make any sense. So the Shach quotes Rabbi Sal Ashkenazi, it's not right to be Mata Nidre Tzedok Agdei Charata. He should only be Mata Nidre Tzedok Agdei Pesach. If he says, I didn't realize I'm going to get into such trouble, I didn't realize so much food is so expensive and clothing is so expensive, I'm not in touch with everything. If I would have realized, I would have never have pledged to you so much money. So if it's really true that if he would have realized, he wouldn't have taken the net, then the Bezin can be Mata Agdei Pesach.
I mean, what if, like, for example, that it turns out there was another tzedakah that was more needy or something like that, could one have a good charata there work? I never would have given to this organization if I knew that this other organization needed the money.
He can make a Pesach. I didn't realize that the other tzedakah organization, right. If I would have realized, it would have not taken this, that would have taken that net. He can make a Pesach.
Sometimes that tzedakah organization was out of business by the time able to give. That also needs
I pledged to give money to Tzedakah and then the whole Tzedakah organization closes down. So you have to give it to another organization. We'll get to that. A little bit. We'll get to it a little bit. And Simon, yeah.
Like in my person for I'm not
mischaired
on the mitzvah that I did, but I am
mischaired
on the fact that I took
the neder. I'm mischaired that I didn't say
b'li neder, yeah.
Right, so why can't you say, I'm not mischaired on the tzedakah that I gave, but I'm mischaired that I took a neder to give the tzedakah? I think taking a neder to give the tzedakah is also a mitzvah. A guy takes a neder, he's not going to go to the bar mitzvah. He's not going to go. He can't stand the sister-in-law. He's not going to go to the shevibruch. He's not going to go to the wedding. That he should have. That you can have charat on. That's a stupid thing. But if a guy took a neder to give money to tzedakah, that itself is a kima mitzvah. The taking of the neder itself is a mitzvah. So I don't think it's right to have charat from that either. I think so. And Yeridei, there are three volumes. So on the first page in Chela Gimel, you have Simon Reish Gimel Sifei. So the Shulchan Aruch there quotes from the Gemara, the first daf in Chulin, and it's the beginning of Nedarim, the same discussion. There's a pasuk in Kohel, it's Tova Shela Tidar Mishit Tidar V'loi Tushalim. It's better never to take a neder at all to give money to Tzedakah, rather than to take a neder to Tzedakah and not to pay up. If these are the two alternatives, Tova Shela Tidam Mishitidav Lo Tishalom. But there's a third possibility, Noidera Mishalem. So which is better? So that's a Machleg Zamei Rebut. So we pass Ken Toiv Mizeh Mizeh, better, best of all, Sheina Noidera Kalika. You should never take any Nedar. You want to give money to Tzedakah, give the money to Tzedakah. Don't take a Nedar. better not to take a neder at all, rather than to take a neder and yes to pay. So we recommend you should never take a neder, unless that's Reish Gimel Sifhei, Mitzvah Lida Be'ez Tzor. It says, Ayida Yankif Neder Leima, Yim Lekini Modi, Shmarani Badar Chazos, and so on. Aser Asren Olach, so Yankif Avinu took a neder. So Tosis quotes the Medrash Rabbah, Tosis and Chulin, that base, quotes the Medrash Rabbah. And that Pasuk, what does it say, Ayida Yankif Neder Leimar? What does Leimar mean? Vadaba Shama Moshe Leimar means Leimar Li Yisrael. So what does it mean of Ayida Yankif Neder Leimar? So the Medrash says, Leimar Ladaris, Yankif Avinu took a neder, and it's recorded in the Chumash to teach the future generations of the Jewish people that whenever we are B'ez Tzora, we should all be Mekabel HaNedah. That's what the Balei Musar always used to say. The Mashgiach in the Yeshiva years ago, when I was a Talmid, used to be Rabbi Lesson. He was straight from Slabotka. It was like he was still in Slabotka. He didn't live in America. No, he didn't live. He lived around the corner. He wasn't part of the American scene. So he always used to say every year, Rosh Hashanah on a Kabbalah is Nishken Rosh Hashanah. If you don't take New Year's resolutions, so the Rosh Hashanah is not meaningful. Rosh Hashanah is an Eis Tzora, called the whole world is being judged. It's a Yom Hadin. So you have to make Kabbalahs. You have to be Mekabel something. And in the Schus of accepting Midas Chasidus or Kabbalahs, so you'll be Zeicha to a Gmach Simetayv. So that's called Mitzvah Lido be Eis Tzora. Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur is an Eis Tzora because it's the Mei Hadin. So it's a mitzvah to be mekabel kabbalas, mitzvah to be mekabel nedar. On that, that's not too difficult to observe. The kabbal neder always to be mavised every week and try to learn daf yomi, whatever things that always to daven tefillah b'tzibur. So these are kabbalas. So the many people, if someone is really sick in the family, so the many people will pledge to give money to tzedakah. That the one who has this serious sickness should have a refuah shleima. So what happens if the person pledged to give a significant amount of money to tzedakah, and it was a mitzvah lida b'eis tzara, and then later on the guy gets better. So then there's no longer any need to fulfill the neder. He got better already. So is it okay to be matan neder? And I'll say, wow, I didn't realize it was so much money. I can't afford it. I'll make a hataras nedar. So in Shulchan Aruch, they quote the Shach quotes from the Sefer Hasidim, that you shouldn't mess around with a neder based tzor. It's a different category of a neder. Even though we permit you to make hataras and dorim on normal, even nidrei tzedakah, we allow you to make hataras and dorim, but a neder based tzor is like you made a deal with the Ribbono Shalom. You give my son a refuah shleima, so I'll give you this money. So the Ribbono Shalom lived up to his half of the deal. The son got better. I'm not going to live up to my. I'm going to use a kunz, make a hataras nedarim. He may take back his good health. The Ribbono Shalom may decide, if I back out from my half of the deal, he may decide to back out from his half of the deal. And then the Be'ez Tzor is like a krisis bris with the Ribbono Shalom. So you're going to make a hataras nedarim, you can never tell what's going to happen. So that's what the poskim say. The Shach quotes that from the Sefer Hasidim. He wouldn't recommend to be Mata Nedorim on a neder that was taken the Eis Tzor. When a person takes a neder or a shvua, so it's only binding if he says either in Hebrew or whatever language he speaks, Harini Noida, Harini Nishba. If he doesn't say Harini Noida, Harini Nishba, so it's not binding at all. So the Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvot lists off which are the 613 mitzvot. So the Rambam in Mitzvot Tzadik Dalet writes, there's a mitzvah sesei, and there's a mitzvah loy sesei. Lo yachal devara, if you took a neder and you violated, so you're in violation of the law. And if you observe the neder, you're in observance of the mitzvah sesei. Which mitzvah sesei? So in Parshas Matos, it says, k'chol ha'yitza mipiv yasem. And then in the middle of Chumash Dvarim, it says, how does it say? So the Rambam says it's basically one big mitzvah says, it's written twice, and the Rambam writes in the Klolim, in the 14 Sharoshim, in the beginning, the first half of the Sefer HaMitzvahs, when you have a Kefla mitzvah, you have a Kefla lav, you don't count it many times. The prohibition against eating chalev is written so many times, prohibition against dam is written so many times, you only count it once in the minyan. So the Rambam says you only count it once. The essay in Matas and the essay what's Zechatishma, the same thing. So the Ramban is Masik, he says, with all due respect, these are two different mitzvahs essay. Chalayetzim mipiv yasa is by mitzvahs harshus, by nidrei harshus. And then you have shuas, a guy takes a neder, he's not going to go to the bar mitzvah. He's not going to go to the wedding. He's angry at his mother-in-law, he's angry at his sister-in-law, whatever. So that's not a nidrei mitzvah. So that's nidrei harshus. So he says, there's no mitzvah sese. And he sticks to his guns and he keeps his word and he doesn't attend the bar mitzvah. And everybody's angry and he doesn't go to the wedding. So he harries a key, a mitzvah sese. He's mekayim the mitzvah of kolayetz mipiv yasa. So he says, yeah, the Ramban says, kolayetz mipiv yasa is an iser esse. That's not a key esse. But this pasuk in the middle of Dvarim, that's by nidrei mitzvah. The guy took a mitzvah. The guy took a neder to bring a korban. The guy took a neder to donate money to tzedakah. He took a neder to learn an hour a day or something. So by nidrei mitzvah, if you fulfill it, not only do you have the mitzvah of giving tzedakah, you have an essay of mitzvah sechah tishmor. I have a kiyum essay of observing the nidrei mitzvah. So the Ramban thinks that these should be counted as two different mitzvahs. One is an iser essay, one is a kiyum essay. Rav Soloveitchik thought that the Ramban was right, and Mistama the Rambam also agrees. He can't imagine that the Rambam is going to disagree with the Ramban. He thought the Rambam thought the minyan mitzvahs should be included in one mitzvah. And the Ramban thought it should be counted as two. So then the Ramban adds on, and he thinks that there are additional distinctions between nidrei mitzvah and nidrei harshus. So he says one distinction is that you have to say hareni noida, hareni nishba. Let's say they're making an appeal to give to tzedakah. So I say, I'm going to give $1,000. I didn't say I pledge to give. So I made a statement. I am going to give $1,000. A statement of fact. If I don't give the $1,000, the fact was not true. So the Ramban says, no, even though you didn't say hareni noida, hareni nishba, if it's nidrei mitzvah, it's binding. If you expressed your interest in doing this, it's binding even without saying hareni noida, hareni nishba. If it would have been nidrei harshus, it would only be binding if you would have said something the equivalent of hareni noida, hareni nishba. Then he has another distinction. He thinks that balta acher, that pasuk that I said mitzvah tishmor, is right next to balta acher. Kisida nala shamakach lo sach l'sham kidori shibushen shamakach miimoch. The whole parsha. So he thinks that balta acher only applies to nidrei mitzvah. He thinks it doesn't apply to nidrei harshus. This Ramban in the Sefer HaMitzvah is in disagreement with the Ran. The Ramban was before the Ran. Disagreement with the Ran in the Dorm. The Ran in his commentary in the Dorm has the following funny case. The Ran says, let's say a guy takes a neder. I will abstain from eating cookies for 1 month. And he didn't say which month. So the Ran says he better hustle to pick a month soon, because if he's going to wait Sholosh Regalim, he will be in violation of Balta Acher. So he's talking about not eating cookies. I will not daven in this shul for 1 month. That's stupid. I will not daven in this shul for 1 month. So maybe he should be Mata Neder. It's a stupid Neder. It's not a nice thing to take Nadar. But he says, if he took a neder that he can't be mate, he better observe the neder sooner than later, because he's going to wait Sholosh Regalim, he'll be in violation of Balta Acher. So Rabbi Kivega on the bottom of the page, and the Gilyan Hashah says, look in the Ramban, in the Sefer HaMitzvah, that he disagrees with this Ran. The Ramban holds that the Balta Acher only applies to Nidrei Mitzvah. The Gemara talks about Balta Acher. Balta Acher, usually Bar Kabonis, A person was mafresh a korban. So it says, when it comes Pesach Shavuot Sukkot, we're all mechuyev to be oil or regal. We're all mechuyev to go visit the Beis HaMikdash and bring korbanos. So I'm mechuyev to bring the first yontiv that comes my way, the first of the Sholosh Regalim. Uvoso shama v'aveisa shama. So you're supposed to bring, when you're oil or regal rishon, you're supposed to fulfill the mitzvah of bringing the korban. So if already, overall of regal harishon, v'lehevi, if you didn't bring the korban, so he's not yet in violation of Balta Acher, the different opinions in the Tanoim. We pask and there's no Balta Acher, but he's already in violation of Uvoso Shama Vavesam Shama. Regal Rishon, when you're early regular, you should have brought it with you. And if you wait Sholosh Regalim, then he's in violation of Balta Acher. So the Gemara says in that sugya that sometimes you can be in violation of Balta Acher before Sholosh Regalim is up. When is that? So the Gemara says by Tzedakah. Let's say he took a neder, he pledged to give money to Tzedakah, and kaimi aniyim alei, and there are aniyim in the city who need the tzedakah right now, and he doesn't give the tzedakah at the first available opportunity. He took a pledge on Shabbos, and he could have given the money on Sunday morning, and he didn't give it. And the kaimi aniyim, so the Gemara says, Zayram bal tachel li alter. Shulchan Aruch quotes it. there sometimes will be a violation. If he took a pledge to give the money to tzedakah and he doesn't cough up the money right away, if he has the money, he doesn't give it, so then he's in violation about ta'acher miyad, because kai mi aniyim alei. If the aniyim are not here, the aniyim are going to come next month, so then he has time. He's not yet in violation about the acher. The Pischei Tshuva in Reish Mem Tes refers you to an Rebbe Yehuda. The Rebbe Yehuda was sent shailas from all over Europe. So someone sent him a shaila. We have an institution of Rosh Hashanah, the Maisa Behemah. We have a Rosh Hashanah for Hafrashas Trumas and Maisris. Tu B'Shvat is Rosh Hashanah Le'ilonis for Orla and for Ravai and for if the Chanotah took place before Tu B'Shvat, then it belongs to the Paris of last year. If the Chanotah took place after, it belongs to the next year. What are you mafish? I mafish maisa oni, mafish maisa sheni. You're not supposed to be mafish b'shan al chavato. So they asked the Nadi Bihuda, what is the Rosh Hashanah for hafroshas maisa k'sofen? That from this date to this date, you calculate your expenses and your losses and your gains, and you have to give maisa k'sofen. So a suggestion was made, it should be Tu B'Shvat. So the Nadi Bihuda didn't answer. Then they sent him another letter, another time or two times. So he writes, he really didn't want to answer. He only likes to write tshuvas when there's a discussion in the Gemara about it. So he has to use his chokma to figure out what is it saying in the Gemara. He said, this whole Maisa Ksofma story, they don't recover in the Gemara. Whatever you're going to say is going to be a boich svara. That's in Yiddish the expression, a boich svara. A svara from your stomach, not from your brains. So he says, it's going to be svara sakeris. He writes that in a few places. I didn't want to write a tshuva because whatever I'm going to say is going to be svara sakeris. There are no sources in the Gemara about this. But you keep on sending me letters, so I got to write something. So he writes something here. I think Taka writes Tu B'Shvat. I'm not sure. But and then he raises the possibility. I remember someone asked me this. Someone was making a fortune of money, and he had $100,000 a year was his maisa k'sofen. So he wanted to know, and he's soon going to retire. He was a Talmud of mine. He's retiring already. I wish I could retire. So he's already holding by retirement. He's going to live in Eretz Yisrael. So he says he wants to distribute all the money to Eretz Yisrael, but he doesn't know long distance. He lives in Canada. He doesn't know which are more valuable tzedakahs. So he wants to hold all the money in a separate bank account. When he goes to Eretz Yisrael, he'll live there, so he'll already figure out where to distribute the money. So is there a din? Does he have the right to wait to distribute the money? So some of the Paschim say that just like there's a din of Shnas HaBiur, that Erev Pesach of the fourth year, Erev Pesach of the seventh year, you have to give away all the matanas, some apply that over here. That you shouldn't hold on to the Maisa, you shouldn't hold on to the Maisa Ksofen money past Erev Pesach of the fourth year, but for a couple of years you can hold on if you think that you'll be able to ascertain more accurately and more seichodik, where the money is supposed to go. So that's a discussion. That Rebbe Yehuda starts that discussion, and others, I don't think he came up with this. I think later Postman came up with that idea. Maybe it's governed with the same rules as the Shas HaBiur, that you have to give it away by the Erev Pesach of the fourth year of the Shemitah cycle and the Erev Pesach of the seventh year. And Reish Nutes Sif Aleph, the Shulchan Aruch quotes the Gemara in the first parak in Erechin that if a person pledged to give money to tzedakah, ad shela bo liyad gabay mutar l'shanoisa, mishabo liyad gabay osa l'shanoisa. So what does it mean? So the Rishonim have two pshotim. So some Rishonim say, I set aside $10, I took it from this pocket and I put it in this pocket, I'm going to give $10 for tzedakah. And then I want to go shopping now, and I don't have enough money. This is my pocket with my money. I don't have enough money. So I'm going to borrow the $10 bill that I have in my left pocket. I'm going to spend it on the food, on the clothing, whatever I need. And then later, tomorrow, next week, I'll put a different $10 bill, and then I'll give it. So if I didn't give it to the Gizba Shodzdokah, Kodim Shaboliyad Gabai, he can be Loivo Pareya. I can borrow the $10 bill and give a different $10 bill. The money I set aside, I'm going to give $10. I'm not going to back out from it. Mutar l'shanoisa means to borrow that coin and to pay back to be loiv pareya. Mishaboli at gabai, if I already gave it to the gabai, or if I already gave it to someone else, let's say, there is no gabai for the tzedakah. But I'm afraid I'm going to forget. So I give the in shul, after myrib, whatever, I give the $10 bill to someone. I say, do me a favor. Beryl is collecting money for this yeshiva, give him the $10 bill. So he's not really the gabai of the tzedakah, but I gave it to someone else to hold on to it on behalf of the tzedakah. So there's a Ramban, the Shulchan Aruch, they quote the Ramban. Ramban says, if he gave it to someone else, that's also the equivalent of boliad gabai. And many of the later poskim say, let's say there's a pushka, the tzedakah has a pushka, and I put the $10 bill in the pushka. So there's a din that there's a kinyan chatzer. Chatzer shel adam kaina is a kinyan. So Caleb shel adam, the Rambam writes, Caleb shel adam akonim kechatzer b'chol mokom sheish l'rishus l'hanicham. So the tzedakah organization leaves a pushka in my home. And if I give them permission to leave the pushka in my home. So if I put the $10 bill in their box, so since they have permission, they have rishus to leave the box there, so that's considered higia liyad gizbor, so I'm not allowed to borrow it. A lot of times when they have money in shul in a pushka, so someone needs coins to go on a bus or something, so they'll take a dollar bill, put it down, and it'll take four quarters. So that's considered higia liyad gizbor. The money was already collected by the gabbai. Let's say you have a pushka, and the gabbai collected it, and it's in the pushka, so you have both the kinyachotz and higia liyad gabbai. So you're not allowed to take the money. Unless you want to make a deal, you're going to give a dollar bill to tzedakah, you're only going to take 95% change. But to take back four quarters, or to take back 10 dimes, the full amount, and hegdish tzedakah is not making any money, so that's already higili ad gizbar. It's also l'shanoisa. You're not allowed to be lovo pareya. Unless you're going to make a deal, tzedakah is going to make some money on the deal. If you're not going to take out the full change. So this is one pshat, and this is quoted in Shulchan Aruch. Karim Shuvali Ad Gabai Muta L'Shanasa means Lovo Pareyaz Muta.
Is that really being Shana though? Because I think the tzedakah is happier with receiving a $1 bill than receiving 10 dimes. I mean, you are gaining something. You're paying to have all these dimes around. You're leaving more room in the tzedakah box for more people to put money. There's some gain from taking out all of the small change.
Mm-hmm. The Gizbar has a right to do it. The Gizmo, if the Gizmo wants to, and he certainly does want to, he has a right to do it. But I think on your own, I think you're not allowed to. We assume that this Docker was kind of this coin already. This Docker was kind of the coins. I don't know, it's a good taina. Then the Rishonim have another interpretation. They're in Erechin, the Tosis has a tupshat. If you pledge to give money to a shul, and I didn't give the money yet, so once I gave the money to the shul, so I can't be in India. They say, give me back the money, I want to give it to the yeshiva. I already gave it to the shul. But kodim shigili at gizbar, mutar l'shanoso the tzedakah acheres. I can give it to a different tzedakah. I pledged to give $10 to tzedakah, so I got to give. But I don't necessarily have to give it to this tzedakah. So kodim shigili at gizbar, mutar l'shanoso the tzedakah acheres. Mishigili at gizbar, then it's already, it's nikne specifically b'miuchod. For this tzedakah, so I can't, I'm not allowed to switch it to a different tzedakah. Okay. We should take go through a Hilchot tzedakah, it's not so much. Do you have copies of the Marmar Kaimus? No? Okay. Rabbi Orliam, I have to make some copies and you'll be able to chazer. Okay.